Big Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is a trying edition of Gaming Uncensored. My name is Jamie Jordan. Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, man?
I feel like we have lots of trying editions of Gaming Uncensored anymore.
Well, it just this is what happens.
Every time there's something that is not working.
I felt guilty because I was not on time because I was playing video games, and we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm totally geeked out. And if you're on the Discord, you know why. And
yes.
If you're not, you need to be over there. Sam and Dolph, I'm talking to you. Don't make me say it again.
Yeah, Duff is over there. We just got to get him to participate.
Yeah, that's, So that being said, we got lots on the show today, sir. What's on the show?
We have Game Award nominations. Game of the Year specifically is fascinating that we need to talk about. So we'll get into that. We've got some Sony news otherwise, trying to acquire a company that is pretty significant. We'll get into. We've got Half-Life to talk about. I know you are excited about that one. We'll spend
some
time on that one. 20th edition, 20th anniversary edition of Half-Life 2, the documentary that goes along with that. Lots of fascinating stuff there. And a couple more things are in the show notes that we're almost certainly not going to get to. So go by GamingUncensored.com and check out the things that we inevitably won't get to, including a way to play Unreal and Unreal Tournament for free. It's available again, available. You can go download it for free, which is pretty cool. So all about like old school, like 2000s first person shooters today, which is fun.
It's our jam.
I know,
right?
Where we grew up, man. Somebody
for me, just give us Quake and we'll be
there
all
you
set.
Go. Hexen and like the whole thing. Let's go.
Yeah, buddy. I'm having so much. I gotta say, I've had a great week in gaming, and most of that is because of you. I continued my Apple TV Plus subscription. I actually found another 3 months free somehow, some way, and so I've been sitting here all week going, okay, I'm gonna start shrinking and I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that, and every time I turn on the TV to fire it up, I looked at the YouTube first and there was Final Fantasy VII available, and I was like, what? Okay, I guess I'm not doing that. So you have spent significant time in the Golden Saucer.
Yep.
I know that because I have spent the better part of 2 evenings watching you play through that, and it wasn't all scrolling. So the first thing I have to say about that is they put a lot of content in there, which I really appreciate.
Yep.
And it's really well done.
Yeah, I completely concur. The Golden Saucer part of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is obviously the thing we're probably most looking forward to.
Yes.
Because it's so nostalgic about Final Fantasy VII. Like, outside of Midgar, the Golden Saucer is like the location in the original game that you like fall in love with. It's so cool and fascinating. And so to get to see their kind of reimagination of the Golden Saucer has been really fun. And like, I had like ridiculous expectations for it because like it is such a like key part of the original game that I was like, oh man, this is gonna be so freaking cool and everything else. And I got there and like at first, like my first thing was like,
I don't know.
And like you go to like the little ghost town place, and I'm like, this isn't the Golden Saucer that I remember. But once you get into it, it was like, okay, here it is. Now we're back. And you get the mini games, and the like for the most part, they're pretty fun. And so I went through and did like all the mini game stuff. And it's good times. Like if you like Final Fantasy VII, you're gonna like it. Like it just is, it's like more of Final Fantasy, like distilled in a different way. And so you get some Queen's Blood in there. So we did some Queen's Blood, did the like battle arena, did the bike combat race thing, which was fun. And so yeah, you just get a little bit of all the ridiculousness of Final Fantasy.
You get some chocobo racing.
Yes, the chocobo racing. I spent some time on that. Did like the whole circuit of chocobo racing in one pass, which was pretty fun. So that one I got a kick out of.
I thoroughly enjoyed that because it's like, it's got some, and this is going to sound bizarre, but if you grew up the way that we did, they put some F-Zero in it. Yes. Like, it's got some F-Zero in it.
Yeah.
And I really kind of dig it. Yeah.
It's got a lot of that. It's got a lot of Mario Kart. Like it's a kart racer on a chocobo. Like it was enjoyable. It's, you know, like it's goofy and it's ridiculous. And it's kind of like Queen's Blood. It's the same way. Like it's a break from the game in the game, right? Like you're taking a break from what you're doing in the game to do this other game inside the game. And like, there's something in me that really appreciates that, of having that available to be able to take a break from the game in the game and not have to go play a different game to take a break from the game. It's just like, it was nice. And now I'm really anxious to get back to like the main quest line. Cause like now we've kind of done the Golden Saucer stuff. And I'm like, okay, let's get back out into the world and like do that again. Cause I'm jonesing for that now. Whereas I was kind of like a little burned out on it before. And so good pacing is well done.
Okay, so let's talk about the pacing for a second, because I have watched probably 4 to 6 hours of Golden Saucer content, because it last Sunday evening, that's all I did from like 6:30 to 11 o'clock at night. That's all I did. And it wasn't just scrolling through videos because you were on pause. There's a lot of content in there. What I remember when we were younger is I remember getting there by way of the airship. And yes, I may be imagining that, but I sort of kind of think they have rearranged that because we don't have the airship yet. And I also remember either when I got there or when I left having more gil than I knew what to do with.
Yes.
Right? Like, yes. I remember walking away with something nutty, like a million gil.
Yes.
And I don't remember if I had it before I got there or if I got it from the saucer. And so I'm wondering how that arrangement is going to work out, because we've had one single hint of the airship.
Yeah.
Right? And we've seen one weapon, and by this point in the original game, the airship's available, the weapons are available, and it's about how do you play this stuff and not die? and this is not that.
Yes.
So I'm wondering how they're going to rearrange it to make it work.
Yeah, it's a good point, because it definitely is a different flow. And some of it's just different mechanics, right? Like, the airship was such an important mechanical element in the original game. It's just not needed. Like, you know, the way you explore this world is completely different than the way you explored the world in the original Final Fantasy VII. And so I'm curious if they've just said, like, kind of screw the airship thing. You know, like, we'll give it a nod, which they did. But, like, we'll see if it pops back up. But, like, it's just not important as far as, like, actually navigating the overworld, which is what you needed it for in the original game. Like, that just isn't a mechanic that exists in this. And so I'm curious to if it does kind of pop back up.
I hope it does, and I hope it's massive. I hope it pops back up, and I hope there's like a new reason to, like, okay, you need
that's this. That's kind of the reimagining that they've done so well in the franchise, or in the kind of rebirth, not using that there intentionally, but in this reimagining of the franchise of the game, not the franchise, I suppose. But they've done such a good job of taking those elements that you know and repurposing them in such new and interesting ways. I do hope they could do that. I don't know what that is yet. And maybe we'll see it in this game. Maybe we don't see it until the third game. But yeah, I think you're right that we had it by this point in the original. But
yeah.
And the same thing with the guild. Like, I don't have nearly as much guild in this version of the game as I did in the original version of the game. But I don't spend it for anything.
No.
I never buy anything. Like, that's and that was true of the original Final Fantasy VII as well. You just didn't really need to buy stuff. Everything that's good in the game, you find. And that's part of the fun of it. It's like, it's exploration based. It's encouraging you to go and seek out this stuff. That every once in a while, like, you know, there was one just recently. I'm trying to remember whose weapon. I think it was Barrett. There was a gun in a weapon shop. And I bought it because I didn't have it. But I was like, where did I miss this? Because every other weapon in there I found in the world, but that one was available. And I was like, I must have overlooked it somewhere in the world that I didn't pick it up, because that's how you get these things. You don't have to buy them. You find them out there. Maybe it's something that I was yet to find or something else, you know, but just the, like, fact that there was a weapon that I had to spend gil on, I was like, that's weird. Because that's not how this works. Like, I don't spend money on weapons. I spend money on nothing, honestly. Again, like, there's just not a big need for the kind of item economy in the game. And by the time you get into the game, you've got enough that you're never hurting. And the golden saucer having, and I do like this, and we'll move on because everybody's played this game. We don't have to talk about it forever. But I do like that you're not, like, getting golden saucer, or you're not playing games just for gil in a golden saucer. Like, you get the golden saucer points, whatever.
It's like Dave and Buster's, man. You
take your tickets up to the ticket counter. You're like, I want that stuffed animal over there. But it's instead, like, all of the different places have, like, one of the books that you use to level up. And I thought that was super cool. It is what, like, made me go, oh, I have to get enough points to go get all of the stuff from all of the different vendors in the golden saucer, mostly because I wanted all the level up books, you know, like, that's the most important thing. But still, like, the little, like, figures and, like, toy things or whatever, I was like, those are kind of cool, that I might as well. It's not hard to get these. Like, I'm not a completionist at games at all, you know this.
Yeah.
But this was something I was like, I'm going to just get them all, because why not? Like, it's fun. There's a little, like, I don't know what that little figurine is for. Maybe when we get the airship, we'll get to deck it out with all of our figurines we want at the Golden Saucer. You know, like,
yeah.
But I'm going to get them just to have them and see what we can do with them.
It's so much fun, and I really enjoyed this week. To not, like, I missed 2 episodes of PTI this week, because every time I walk into my office to turn on the TV, there's more gaming stuff to do, and I've just had a blast this week. I felt like, you know, this is kind of how I feel like in my dream space when you retire and we're sitting around and we don't have anything to do. This is kind of what it feels like, and it's been a whole lot of fun. And I would have, you know, gone back to the 8 zillion games that we already have to play. And then somebody, Gio or somebody, posted on Discord, Half-Life 20th anniversary. And I was like, I said to myself, I'm not downloading it. I don't have time for Apple II. I'm not doing it. I'm just going to watch the documentary, and I'm going to think it's awesome what gets a two-hour documentary. And I got halfway through, and I was like, yeah, I can't do it. I downloaded it. I installed it. It's a grand total of 5.7 gigs, which is mind-blowing that Half-Life 2 is 5.7 gigs.
Yeah.
And I started playing it, turned on the commentary. The commentary is excellent. They read each of their parts, but the entire development team helped out with each section of the commentary. And just as you go through the game, there's these little nodes. And I really want you to get involved with this because there's a lot of really cool audio tidbits in there about how they did delays and, you know, sounds and that type of stuff. Yeah. It's really neat.
Yeah.
And I have no need or desire to play through Half-Life 2 or the episodes, but I'm gonna do it because this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how I'm gonna like squeeze that in. But I've been playing it for 2 days, and it's just a blast.
Yeah,
I put on the Discord this morning, 20 years later, and it's still great.
Yeah.
Like, it's still great. It's not one of those where you're like, where you look at it and you're like, this really hold up. This kind of, ooh, look, you got a new friend back there, I think.
Hold on. All right.
Hello, my love.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good? Yeah. What are you doing?
I am playing.
You're playing?
And I'm doing clothes if they fit or not.
You're trying to figure out if clothes fit or not. Well, I bet that's a problem at your age, right? I bet you gotta work on that every so often. I understand.
Yeah, once you get to a certain age, we don't have to worry about that too much.
Yeah,
we just get fatter.
Yeah. Me and your dad are a great example of that. We just get fatter. We don't grow. I understand completely.
Yes.
So, what's your brother doing, dear?
He is taking a nap.
Taking a nap?
Yes.
Well, do you realize that there are a lot of people listening to me and your dad right now?
Yes.
And that we need to finish this before your brother decides to wake up?
Because brother is already making noises.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good at all. Well, how about this? What if I told your dad to give you $5 and you go babysit your brother?
Okay.
What about that? See, we're working.
Putting me on the hook for stuff, but.
Well, yeah, hey, I'll get you $5. I can do that.
Yay.
$5 from Jamie.
Yeah. I already have $100, so I have $105.
Where did
you get $105?
My Grammy gave me $100.
Oh, Grammy. No. Okay, I see.
I don't know why. I mean, I know why, but I don't know how many days I cooked.
I forgot how many days I cooked.
So, I cooked a lot of days, and my Grammy gave me $100. It was probably 9 days.
Probably.
Has your dad told you that maybe your Grammy might spoil you just a little bit?
No.
$105 is a lot of money.
He's never going.
Because he let me have a brownie at lunch, at bedtime and sips.
What?
That's my favorite story.
Does your mom know about this? That would be a problem.
Yes, all my family knows about this.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you didn't get in trouble.
All right. Go work on your clothes. taking that $5.
Yay!
I'm gonna send your dad $5.
There you go.
All right. I will actually send you $5.
I believe it.
I'm going to send you $5. so that we'll just call it a show expense.
There you go.
Which, speaking of, ladies and gentlemen, you just saw it live on the air. We have expenses for this show. So we need to say thanks to the Patreon guys. Let's do that real quick.
That's absolutely true. I got to get back over to my screen with page open.
I think I know most of them.
I know. I feel like I could probably do it from memory, but I don't want to like try and skip anybody and then
really
bad about it. So I'm going to make sure I read them off to make sure we cover everybody here. So, big thanks. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. For your support, if you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can do that. Go by gaminguncensored.com, click the Become a Patron link. Also, while you're there, click on the Join the Discord link as well, because Discord is the place to be anymore. Lots of good conversation happening over there. So you can find both of those at gaminguncensored.com.
There is a lot of things happening over there. I know we say that every single week. I kid you not, folks. The Discord is hopping. There's always discussion going on over there. We're seeing new people sort of trickle in as we're around. Tommy and I are there pretty much all the time. It stays open. We don't always comment, but we're there. We're paying attention, and
for sure.
It's having a good. I'm having a good time with it. So.
Yeah, I am too. I'm glad we finally did it again. Not thanks to us, but thanks to Gio of making that happen. But yes, it is great, and it is fun to be able to interact with you guys in a different way that is a little bit more responsive in real time. And yes, I'm thoroughly digging it.
And for you Patreon guys, apparently you're paying for me to bribe his daughter.
And now that we've started that, that's going to become a theme that we're just going to have to like budget into the process, is bribing the little girl monies. So be prepared for that.
Well, I'll contribute to that. It's not all going to come out of the show budget, because I just did the ultimate uncle move right there and said, I will give you money if you will go away.
Yes.
So,
how life works. So.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Anyway, Half-Life, back to talking about Half-Life. So I did want to ask you about the documentary. I've watched just a couple little snippets of it, but I haven't watched the whole thing. Tell me a little bit about that, because what I've seen, I really dug. I thought it was really well done.
It is extremely well done. And if you watch it, what I got out of the 2 hours is that Valve was 3 steps away from not existing. Half-Life not getting done, no Steam, no. I mean, Gabe was nearly broke. It nearly went under. Like, they were right there, and that was something that I took away from it, because now there's this behemoth. But back when they were making Half-Life 2, like, Gabe was using his own money to like pay for it. And that's common knowledge. But when you hear them talk about it, it's kind of mind bending that like one move one way or the other, and we don't have what we have now. All the digital distribution and all the stuff that we have now, like, no offense to anybody else, that's them.
We would have it. Somebody would have done that as well, but like, there are a whole lot of good ideas that really suck for a long time until somebody does them right, and then there are good ideas that start out really strong, and like digital distribution of video games on the PC because of Steam. Like, Steam wasn't the very first, but Steam is the one that mainstreamed this and made it really, really solid pretty much out of the gate. Valve deserves tons of credit for that, obviously.
Yeah,
and the whole landscape would look different. It would exist, but it would be way different. And yeah, that's, it is crazy to think about, like, if that hadn't have happened, like if they had gone under when they could have gone under, what that like PC gaming landscape would be today.
And they said flat out, like, that game was like, this, we need to take away physical copy. We need to, like, physical copies are not the way it's going to go. We need to find a way to integrate this software into this so that people can easily get games, and we can take middlemen like Sierra Entertainment, which, if you watch the documentary, they were not good guys. Like, I remember lots of early shows talked a lot about Sierra and the games that they published.
Yeah.
And they literally, Sierra was actively trying to bury Valve.
Yeah.
And that's where Steam came from, is the team was like, we got to figure out a way to take the middleman out of it, and so that little guys like us can go directly to the customer base. And to do that, we're going to have to take physical copies away. And I have a box of, like, physical copies sitting to my left. One box is Half-Life and all of the expansions and, yep, you know, all that stuff. And so to hear him say that out loud, it's like, oh, but he was right.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. He was right.
Yep.
And it's really good if you're a historian in general, which I know you are, and then you add video games on top of it.
Yeah.
It's really good. The other thing is that I really appreciated, they did not monetize it. I am not paying for YouTube Premium, so there's 18 zillion commercials and everything that I watch.
Right.
This thing is commercial free. It's really good. It's really well done. I guarantee you, if you sit through the whole thing, you will hear things that you didn't know. It's really interesting. And like, we have firmly established that I am a Valve fanboy. I'm a Half-Life fanboy. I have been ever since we started this show, because it really, I mean, I played a little bit of Duke Nukem and Quake, but that Half-Life was the first one that was like, okay, this is how I have to have a computer for this.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember going to the store and buying Half-Life in the box, and what's this? And do I have a big enough computer to run it? And I didn't. I had to go buy one. And like, it literally changed everything. And there's a zillion first-person shooters out there.
Yeah.
And there are people out there alive today. I know, because one of them is sitting in my living room. He just walked back into my house. Don't know what Half-Life is.
Yeah.
And it's one of those that it's, I understand the end of the day, unless you are a fanboy, it's probably just a first person shooter. But I'm playing it right now, and I'm seeing things that they did that people put into modern day first person shooters, like the ragdoll physics and all of that. They did that. That was them. They were the guys that went to NVIDIA and said, your math is wrong on your GPUs. That this is in the documentary. Your math is wrong on your GPUs. Here's the correct math. And this is what we need to do to make that work. And it was Half-Life. It was them. And it's still, I don't know. I think it's probably top five greatest shooters of all time.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, the fanboy in me wants to say number one, but top five?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you can make a really solid argument for how it's best is such a, you know, hard and subjective thing, but influential, like, what Half-Life did for the industry, what, like, the things that they were pushing and how they, the one bit, and we have this in the show notes as well, but the link in the show notes that is about this specific topic has a whole documentary in it too. So you can go watch it there, wherever you go find it on YouTube. It's not hard to find. But they were talking about how, or asking about episode three and essentially why episode three never happened. And they talk through, you know, that, the like Left 4 Dead needed to ship. And so they took a lot of resources from Half-Life to episode three to finish Left 4 Dead. And then when they got back to it, they felt like it was like they would need to really start over, build a new engine for it. Like they were just on the back end of what was making sense at the time. And in retrospect, they're kind of like, that was pretty dumb. But in the moment, that's how they felt. And Gabe even goes on to talk about it a little bit different way. And what I really thought was maybe more interesting, which of course Gabe is going to provide something that's more interesting, but he talked about episode three not happening in the like context of he didn't feel like it was pushing things forward in any meaningful way. And he talks about how it would have actually been easy to ship it. They had stuff in place, but the fact that like he didn't think that it was, and this is now me kind of putting words in his mouth, but the revolutionary nature of what Half-Life should be was prohibitive. And he says specifically, he says he was stumped. Like that was the thing.
It's what do I do stumped. Next? Was right. Basically what he said.
And that's a testament to how much Half-Life did. And like they did it again. They did it with Half-Life Alyx that just blows the doors off of anything else in the VR world and still does. Like there's nothing comparable to
nope.
That. And that's what Half-Life has always been. It's like, we're going to be something completely cutting edge and pushing the boundaries of what you think that this thing you do can do. And we're going to both do it better and do it in new ways. And in some ways, I really appreciate Gabe saying, we could have done this for the story. We know our fans love the story and that they want to see where the story goes, but we don't feel like it does justice to what, sorry, baby screaming in the background. If you can hear that,
you need to go take care of, okay.
That would be but hopefully taken care of momentarily. sorry, it caught me off guard there for just saying this is what happens when you have kids in the house trying to do a podcast. They interrupt. So, anyway, that he was saying that they could have done it for the sake of the story, but he felt if the story was the only reason that they were doing it and the game itself wasn't like doing something more, it didn't make sense for them. And I get that. Like as much as I would love to see more happen, we want to see Half-Life 3, and they definitely leave the door open for more Half-Life. This wasn't like put a bow on Half-Life, it's done. But to hear kind of Gabe in his own words talk through that, I thought was really, really interesting.
If Half-Life 3 comes out, it will be the next Cyberpunk, because that's what drives Cyberpunk the way it was supposed to be, the way it was envisioned to be, meaning that it will do something that the current landscape does not do. Otherwise, they won't do it. That's why they haven't done it in 20 years, because they're trying to figure out what the next thing is.
Yeah. And they talk about the fact that if they had done it, like, the people who would have done it were the people who did Portal 2 and who did Left 4 Dead 2 and like just all of the other stuff that Valve was doing. And like, I also really appreciated them just being basically like, we don't know what would have happened to those other things if we would have continued to put the time into episode 3 that we were intending to. Which, you know, as somebody who loves Portal, Left 4 Dead hasn't ever been our thing, but I can appreciate it. I've enjoyed what I've played. I'm not a diehard about that. But, like, there's only so many of them. Like, there's only so much bandwidth to right. do this stuff. And
so,
to say we could do Portal and execute it in all the ways we want to, or we could do episode 3 to try to be fan service but not put out something we're proud of. Like, it was just really compelling to me to hear
it's a great argument. And I'm going to tell you, after hearing that argument, I've always had a goal that before we wrap the show, before you and I wrap and die, because we're going to do this till we die, probably. The goal has always been, I want to go to Valve and I want to talk to those guys. And now I still have that goal. But Gio, after watching the documentary, Gio said, you need to play Alex. And I said, well, I've seen the whole thing on YouTube. I don't have the reflexes to play it. Now after seeing the documentary, I want us still to end up as Al somehow, some way. And I want to look Gabe in the face and say, look, here's what the next thing is for disabled people. If you want to push something forward, we need a co-pilot mode, because I've seen every ounce of Alex on YouTube, but it's not like having it in the headset.
Yeah.
If you and I could walk through Alex and me right along as the co-pilot, yeah, I wouldn't be playing it, but that would be enough to change a lot of things for a lot of people. And I really think that's one of those things that would intrigue him and them, because Alex is all-time great. Like, it is the best VR game out there, and it drives me crazy that I can't put a headset on and play it. Yeah, that's my new the goal's still the same, but now I have a reason to go. And one thing I was gonna say, and then we'll wrap this and we'll move on because we only have so much time.
Right.
But the start of the commentary for Half-Life 2, I decided to run it with the commentary. And there's also a Half-Life 2 update that's a mod that has better shaders and lighting and all that. And so I'm running both games at the same time, just sort of comparing, because even with the two of them, it only takes up like 20 gigs on the hard drive. So I'm running them both, but the very first note in the commentary is Gabe introducing himself and talking for about 2 minutes. I don't even remember what he talked about, but at the end of it, he said, play through this commentary and let me know what you think, and gave his email address, which he had done on a previous commentary. And that's how you and I are on the Valve mailing list, because I was there good enough to email him and be like, hey man, we'd like to talk to you. He never responded, but he put us on the email list, and that's how we got there. And I just, because of that, because he consistently says, here I am, tell me what you think, I have a lot of respect for all those guys.
For sure.
I mean, yeah. It just, there's not a lot of developers out there that's like, here it is, send me an email, I'll see it.
Yes.
And it just means a lot.
Yeah, it's super cool. And one of the reasons that Valve has been so successful in how they interface with their fans. Like, that's just not the vibe that you get from every publisher, every developer, every other game company out there. Of course, Valve does so many things. So, you know, like, does distribution, does hardware, does these games. Like, it's so much that they do. But the fact that it has always felt like they are accessible and a company that cares about consumer feedback is a big deal. I don't feel that way about most game companies, but I definitely feel that way about Valve.
And that right there is why we have, I feel like we have to, before we're done, we have to go talk to them about VR and hardware. And because one thing I wanted to say before we wrap this is that when I restarted Half-Life 2, I set it on normal and I played for about an hour and just got pasted, like just got destroyed. And I had to go somewhere. I had to do some grocery shopping yesterday. And I came out of my office and I was shaking my head and Peyton looked at me and goes, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "I don't have the reflexes anymore. Like I don't have it to get through the first part of the game with the pistol." And of course it's one of those things when you pick something up after 20 years, you figure it out. Like I fired it up right before the show and got past where I needed to get past. It just took a little bit to remind my brain, like, this is what we're doing. I really felt like I'm like, okay, I'm in really bad shape if I can't play Half-Life 2. And so then that got me thinking about, I started thinking about the possibilities with like Neuralink and that kind of thing, where you just put this thing on my head and it's reading what I'm telling it to do. It's stuff like that that needs to happen, because when I go from 45 to 60, I'm not going to have the reflexes that I have now. So the goal from now on is, what do I have to have? What tech do I have to keep playing?
Yep.
And I think that's always been a goal of this show, but it has been reoriented to me. In the last couple of days.
Yeah, I think all that's fair. So. That said, again, the topic we will certainly come back to as we spend a little bit more time with it. But for now, we'll get into the show notes for today. Again, go by gaminguncensored.com because we won't get through them all. But we'll start with Game Award nominees, specifically Game of the Year, because it's really the only thing we need to talk about. And it's fascinating in so many different ways. And so I'm just going to list the nominees for Game Awards 2024 Game of the Year,
right?
And then we'll discuss. And so they are Astrobot, Sony platformer, cool. Black Myth Wukong, didn't expect that to be a Game of the Year contender, but it is. Here we are.
Okay.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, did expect that to be a Game of the Year nominee, and good to see that here. Metaphor Fantasio, not surprised by that one because it's the Persona guys and they're, you know, all this stuff. And then the two that really are like already, like, we're kind of like, this is an interesting crop, but the two that are really like, wait, what, where, what are we doing? Balatro, which we have talked about a ton on this show, and so you know our thoughts about Balatro, and I love Balatro. Interesting.
Can I just say right here, I happen to look because I knew we were going to record a show this week, and of course I played some Balatro at some time in the last couple of days. I decided to look on Steam. I have 81 hours in Balatro. 81 freaking hours in Balatro. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. And it makes me want to just like uninstall the game. Like, I 81 hours.
Yes, that is absurd. That's great. I love that. And then the last contender, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree. Which is interesting because it's DLC. This is not a standalone game. This is like, even if it was like, like Spider-Man Miles Morales, right?
Right.
Like that was DLC, but it came as a standalone game. You could just buy Miles Morales. This isn't like that. As far as I know, this is true DLC. Like, you have to have, first of all, own Elden Ring, the original title. And again, we're not the big Elden Ring people, so somebody correct me if I'm wrong here, but my understanding of this is, like, to get to the content that you get to in Shadow of the Erdtree, you have to be like deep into Elden Ring, like way into the game, like, you know, like many, right. many hours that you spent on this. That is fascinating as a Game of the Year nominee, DLC for a different game that you have to go buy and spend, you know, tens of hours with to even get to the content that's nominated here.
Well,
wild.
I think, and it's something that's got a really good shot because it reeks of the Game Awards. Like, yes. this is something that they would do. Like, I'll be waiting on Snoop to walk out with, like, and like, this is just what they would do. And I bring that up because when we started the Discord server last week, I messaged our buddy Troy that we went to school with, and I was like, hey, man, we got a Discord server. Why don't you come over and hang out with us? And he was like, cool. And I immediately thought of the one time that he came over to the store and was all nuts about, you know, the Game Awards, that, and we hated it.
Yeah, this was back in Spike Video Game Awards days. This was 20 years ago.
But this is what they do. And when Troy responded to me, I was like, yeah, that seems about right. So Troy, if you wasn't, and I know you probably are, hey buddy, I won't be surprised if it wins because it's the Game Awards.
Yeah. I generally agree. I'm really interested to see, like, because they've gotten a lot of pushback about it being nominated in the first place. Because there's obviously the FromSoft, like, I don't want to say this in a pejorative way, as I'm trying to be careful about my words, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to say fanboyism, but not in a, like, negative way. Like, I totally get why people love these games, even though
we've given
them a try. We've spent time in Elden Ring. It's just not my thing. But, like, I get why people are so dedicated to these games. But at the same time, it also feels like a litmus test for your, like, gamer credential that you are into FromSoft games, that you are Souls-like stuff, you know?
Right.
And, like, Elden Ring is, like, the capstone of that. Like, it is the ultimate proof of your, like, gamerness.
Especially in this generation. Like, lots of people play FromSoft games. Guys younger than us, they all play them. And when somebody comes up to me and asks if I play Souls-like games, I say no, because, again, I don't have the reflexes. And they're like, oh, dude, you're missing out. And then that's when I pull out the old man card and go, yeah, you played Half-Life 2? It's that thing. It's a generational thing.
I think so. I mean, I know plenty of people that are our age that love these games. Like,
well, yeah.
I think it does transcend just us being old men at this point, though. I do think there's an element to that. But it is, like, just this legitimacy thing of, like, these are the games that are, like, serious gamer games, you know, kind of thing. And that has become its own kind of ecosystem within the gaming sphere. And I don't, again, I'm trying to be really clear about this. I don't mind that that's true. Like, I'm perfectly cool with people loving these games and finding enjoyment in these games. And at the same time, recognize that, like, one of the ways you say, hey, I get it, I'm a gamer, I play Elden Ring, it is, like, nominating the DLC for Game of the Year. Like, it feels like there's a, like, okay, we're trying too hard to prove that we're serious gamers.
Hardcore, yeah.
Yeah, and that just, I don't know. I don't think, like, true DLC should be a Game of the Year.
Basically, what it is that Grand Theft Auto 6 is not available, and so they had to find the next, like, you know.
There is an element to that in these nominees, I think, that, like, this just isn't, like, a particularly strong year in gaming. That said, like, these are, you know, Final Fantasy, Metaphor, Astrobot, like, these are all super high-rated games. They're just not, like, I don't feel like any of these
they're niche
are, yes, exactly. They're not games that have, like, impacted the culture in some way, aside from Elden Ring. Elden Ring absolutely affected the culture.
Yes.
Like, that expanded beyond gaming. And again, I think why there's, like, this need to put this nod to Elden Ring in here, even though it's the DLC for Elden Ring, because Elden Ring already won this award, is because we need to be, like, Bellatro is so freaking cool, but like, even in its viralness and how much it's blown up,
it's not a game of the year. Like,
if I love it to somebody who is even on the tangential like edges of gaming, they're like, what the crap are you talking about? Like, what in the world is a poker roguelike? You know, like, how do you describe what Bellatro is? Like, you have to be really niche in that. And it's, yeah, Black Myth Wukong, I think, is that way. Like, it's really good. I've played Black Myth Wukong. I like it. It's a fantastic game. It's beautiful. But it just, again, is for us, at least in America, because it's a Chinese game, there's probably a different perspective in other places in the world. But for us, it feels like it's really niche. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is my vote on this category, obviously, because this is like, we've been talking about this game for what feels like a year nearly at this point. We love this game. I adore this game. But it's also niche. Like, it's for me and my nostalgia as a 40-year-old man who played this game when I was in high school. You know, like, yeah, it's a fascinating, like, two JRPGs in this. In 2024, we have two JRPGs nominated for Game of the Year, which, again, I don't hate. I think that's pretty cool. But it's just a weird group of games that we saw this year. And so, yeah. I thought it was fascinating. It just is a really, really interesting slate. And I honestly couldn't tell you what's going to win. And I would love if it was Bellatro just to, like, screw everybody up. Like, you, I don't think Bellatro should be Game of the Year. I don't think it should be nominated for Game of the Year. I love it so much. It's not in the same category as these other games. I would love it just for the, like, mess with everybody. Like, screw it, Bellatro wins.
I think I've said this on this show before, but every time I fire it up, I just shake my head at myself, and I really do. I want to uninstall it because I feel like my grandmother playing Mahjong like on the 486. You know what I'm saying? Like I just, that's what it feels like. But it's fun and it's obnoxious. Like, I'm on the yellow deck. I think I told you that. I don't think I've said it on the air. I've beaten the game with a couple of the decks, and now I'm on the yellow deck, which the focus of the yellow deck is money, and I can't do it. I've made several runs, and I just can't get there. I can't find the combination of jokers, and it's annoying, and I refuse to give up.
Yeah.
It
just gets into you, man. I was able to put it down. And once I put it down, I haven't picked it back up in a while, even though I have it on my phone. I've played a couple of rounds on my phone. But, like, I've been playing Stardew Valley on my phone again, and that's all. It hooks into you, and then you're screwed kind of thing. Bellatro will get me. I've played Vampire Survivors on my phone, another one of those games. It's a roguelike. It's very similar in how it just gets its hooks into you. Like, I'll pick up Bellatro again. But I have been able to put it down for a couple of months now and not get back to it. So there is hope.
Yeah,
Billy, you're gonna go back to it someday.
Let me know how you did that, because it's really starting to piss me off.
Really hard.
I honestly the way I justify it to myself is I turn on the news in the evening, and like, I'm watching like a news show, and I'm like, okay, I'll play Bellatro while this is on.
Yeah,
I can have like the news of the day on in the background and play that while that's going on. Otherwise, I have no way of justifying it.
Yeah.
So,
I hear you there. Kind of related news. We'll see how we can segue to this. Sony in talks to acquire a company that is, I've never heard of before, called Kadokawa. And I'm sure I'm butchering the name of that. And so I apologize in advance. It is presented here in this Reuters story as a Japanese media powerhouse. But most importantly, for our purposes, it's also the parent company of From Software that we were just talking about.
Boy.
There is a chance that Sony is about to buy the parent company, meaning including From Software, and that, like, Elden Ring and all the Souls and everything else comes under the power of Sony. And what that would just, in the like discussion we had a second ago about how important this is in the like cultural milieu of gaming, would really be relatively earth shattering, I would say.
It would remind me of the PlayStation 2 days where Sony had all of the best exclusive games. And I don't really see From Software games becoming exclusive to the PlayStation, but it could, and that would be a huge get.
Yeah, it would be a huge
big
get.
Deal.
Yeah, obviously, there's, you know, whispers from Microsoft world that's not thrilled about this potential thing. Now, what we're seeing from Microsoft with their acquisition of Bethesda, now seeing, you know, Bethesda games are getting, you know, multi-platform releases, even though they're a Microsoft entity. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something like that if Sony were to acquire From Software, of like still seeing multi-platform releases and that kind of stuff. Like, it is getting to the point where that's kind of what the gaming industry is. And so the fact that Sony would have the rights and the options for exclusivity, and even if they didn't make it exclusive, they're still making all this money off of it. Like, cool. That's perfectly fine. It is, again, because I'm not a From Software fanboy, like, for me, I don't have a lot of concern about this, but I could definitely see if, like, you love From Software going, I don't know if I want that under the Sony umbrella. And to be very clear, again, me, I love Sony IPs. Like, we
yes.
eat up Sony
we
IPs.
We do, yes.
God of War, Spider-Man, Last of Us, like, we go on and on. We dig them all. Uncharted is fantastic, but, like, those are very different from Software games. Like, those are the games that I like, and I don't really like From Software games that much. Like, and so in some ways to me, it feels like the opposite of what a From Software game is. And so I could see how, if you are a big fan of these titles, how you would be nervous about maybe Sony having creative power in some way over them, and whether or not Sony would, you know, try to change anything, which seems silly as successful as they are, but the sillier things happen all the time in these kind of takeovers. But I could see somebody being nervous about that. So I would be interested to hear from somebody that is a big fan of From Software games, whether or not this move is concerning to you.
I think it's kind of hypocritical of Microsoft to be complaining about. Was like, I mean, come on, guys. I'll take this opportunity to just mention, we didn't mention it the last show. Apparently, I missed a pop-up somewhere because we didn't talk about it on the last show. But my Game Pass went up by like $2. I've been waiting for the price jump. It went up by like $2. I didn't see it anywhere. I didn't get an email that I know of. They just sort of snuck it in there. And I wonder, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on this. I'm just curious if this is an incremental jump, and in a couple of months it's going to go to 15 and then, you know, be there for a while. I don't know. I don't feel good that it just happened. It's kind of like our web host jacking up our price without telling us, which they did. And I was not happy about that. I'm not super happy about this. I was just curious if you even noticed it.
I did.
Game Pass is one of those things that, like, you could easily, it just comes out and you don't notice it. That said, even with the price jump, the way that we've been playing games lately, it's totally worth it.
Right, for sure. And we have what you would call it,
Frostpunk, and
we do have Frostpunk, and Microsoft Flight Simulator just came out a couple hours into that, just playing around with flying around some, which is super fun. We have Indiana Jones coming up, and so
yes,
gotta have that. And so yes, absolutely. I did get an email from them about the price increase. Just
okay, yeah, okay.
So I saw it. I was trying to remember because I knew it was coming, as so I just went back and looked through my email really quick because I was curious if I saw it there or if I'd read it somewhere else. But they did send an email that I saw at some point. So, but yeah, it is, you know, how these things work.
I mean, we knew it was going to happen. I'm not complaining because the price went up. We've been saying for 5 years the price is going up.
Of course.
You
never want it to sneak up on you and feel
right,
like
you're
not being candid about that, which, some of them are really bad about that. Some of these subscription services, I really appreciate, like, when it gives me a pop-up that says, hey, your price is increasing next month by whatever amount, you know, I go, that sucks, but cool, thanks for telling me, you know, as opposed to like just looking like a year later and it's like significantly more, like, you know, 70% more than it was a year ago. I'm like, wait, because that's what my car insurance does, right? Like,
yeah,
that's what sucks is when you get like these other bills that are just like, oh yeah, you're now paying twice what you were 2 years ago for no reason. Congratulations. And you're like, wait, what?
And honestly, that's exactly where we are with our WebHost. I said it a few shows back. We need to find a new WebHost because we're paying double what we were even a year ago. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So if you run a WebHost and would like to support this show, let's talk gaminguncensored@gmail.com because that is a significant expense for this show at this point.
For sure.
So, a
couple other things before we wrap up here. One more bit of Sony news. The PlayStation Portal, which we've talked about a little bit on this show, the Sony sort of kind of handheld, not fully handheld because it's not its own device. It is a device that will stream games from your PlayStation 5 and up until just a few days ago, it required that you own a PlayStation 5 for the thing even to be useful. So you pay, you know, $400 or $500 for your PlayStation 5. You pay another couple hundred dollars for the PlayStation Portal. You can't have the PlayStation Portal without it. You have to have it. They have now updated the Portal, which I believe was like a shadow update, like not even making a big deal out of it, but updated the PlayStation Portal that now it is officially a cloud gaming device, meaning that if you have a PlayStation Plus, Ultimate, whatever they're tier subscription, I can't remember what their tiers are called at this point, but whatever their access to cloud gaming tier is of PlayStation Plus, you can now stream those games on your PlayStation Portal regardless of whether or not you own or are connected to your own personal PlayStation 5. That's a pretty significant upgrade to just put out there that makes a device that, you know, is $200, which is still pretty pricey for something that's not its own standalone piece of gaming hardware that requires something else. But now it requires only a connection to the internet versus a connection to the internet and a connection to your PlayStation 5. And so makes it a little bit more intriguing. Whether or not you need a PlayStation Portal, the reviews about it are great. Screen's apparently great. Having the like PlayStation 5 controller, but with the screen in the middle, apparently feels really good. The controller, the PlayStation 5 controller is great. And so all that, you know, makes a lot of sense. But the idea that you don't have to have the hardware at your home end now makes it maybe something that some more people are going to be interested in.
It's kind of one of those. It makes sense now that it works with PlayStation Plus to me. It didn't make sense at all before.
Yes.
It's a good use of PlayStation Plus. I don't think I've ever said this on this show, so this is a first. I don't want one. I know that this is not something that I think we need. And I don't know what that says about it.
I generally agree. I definitely didn't want one before. This has made it where I'd be like, oh, okay, I see some utility in this now.
Yeah.
Even though, like, it's still, like, what the utility of it would be isn't a whole lot different than what the utility would have been otherwise for me, is that I could sit on my couch and play my PlayStation instead of sitting at my desk and playing my PlayStation. You still can't do it on the go very easily because you have to have a high-speed Wi-Fi connection in order to do this. But to have access to the, because I don't know, like, if you could stream from the cloud through your PlayStation 5, but my understanding is you can't. Like, you could only stream games that you have installed. Like, the fact that I could sit down on my couch and stream whatever I want out of the, you know, cloud catalog is more intriguing than just sitting on the couch and playing what I have, you know, sitting on my hardware 15 feet away from me or whatever it is in the other room or whatever it is. Like, right. It's still a minimal upgrade and I'm not like, oh yeah, now I gotta go buy one. I don't get it completely still, but I'm getting it a little bit more and it feels like it's a feature that they knew they were going to add and they really wanted to do from the beginning, and for whatever reason, like some technical hiccup or whatever, they're like, we need to get this thing out because we're missing out on the opportunity to actually sell these units or whatever. And then they're like, oh, now we can do it. So here you go, guys. You get the full functionality of it now. But they never said that on the front end to keep from promising it. But it feels like this was probably the intention all along.
So the reason I'm not super into it is because we have a Steam Deck.
Right.
Like the Steam Deck does what this does so much better than this does its thing. Like,
for sure.
I mean, if you got a Steam Deck, you don't need this.
100%.
And you know, our Steam Deck is only, it sounds absurd, and this is where we are as adults at this point, but pay $200 more and you got a Steam Deck.
Yeah. So, and, which is a legit handheld gaming console.
Yeah.
Like, is it like a streaming thing or whatever? It can stream, but it's so much more, which makes me think I just haven't pulled out the Steam Deck in a couple months. Like, I need to get that thing out.
Did I tell you that I bought everyone for? I got everyone for. Nice. She was here and she bought. I told you, you knew that she brought her boyfriend over to summer.
Right.
Out and play games. And I talked with him and we split it. And now she has a Steam Deck. And so for her birthday this year, I just bought her a bunch of games. And it's like the ultimate. It's especially for a kid that really wants a PC.
Yeah.
But you know they're not going to sit at their desk and do what we did. Like, the Steam Deck is the ultimate thing. I told her, I was like, I'm going to get you a bunch of games. Here's this thing. And if you still think you want a PC after, you know, playing with this, let me know and we'll work it out. So yeah, she sounds blast with it. I think it's a great piece of hardware. I know we sound like Valve fanboys because we are. They just do good stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm it's, I would buy, if I could physically use it, I would buy another one because I bought her one of the older ones, one of the ones that we have. I've not seen the OLED ones yet. But I bet they're awesome.
Yeah, I bet they are too. It's such a good little thing. And again, makes so much more sense than PlayStation Portal does. PlayStation Portal makes slightly more sense now, but like if you're going all out, like, go get a Steam Deck. It's much more worth your time. So,
yep.
All that said, just really quick on releases. Not a whole lot going on the past week or so in releases. There's Dragon Quest III HD 2D Remake, which we saw at some summer game, something that looked really good. If we were Dragon Quest people, I'm sure we'd be really into it. Has an 85 Metacritic score. Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl is out.
I kind of want to play that.
It does look kind of good. 74 is fine. Again, like, that's kind of what I'd expect for Stalker. And then one game I didn't know anything about, and I don't remember seeing this anywhere, like, you know, Future Games Show or anything like that. It's called Locomotive. It's like murder mystery, like Agatha Christie kind of thing, like
with, on a,
like,
train,
yeah, like old school, like point and click looking graphics.
I played one of those in like 1990,
right? Like, it has that vibe to it,
like a Murder on the Orient Express, or
yes,
something like, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It has an 86 on Metacritic, which, like, I'm now kind of intrigued.
Yeah, by. Now we gotta play it.
Now we got to check this thing out. And so Locomotive is what it's called. And again, I'm just like, all I know about is what I pulled up on Steam, you know, half an hour ago or whatever it was, a couple hours ago, pulling this stuff up. But it is, by the way, Steam Deck verified. No big shock there. But like, the perfect game for a Steam Deck. Like, it just looks like it was made to be played on a Steam Deck. Like, just makes all the sense in the world. So, yeah, I'm now suddenly like, okay, that's going on the wish list. Like, give us our winter sale, and that thing's going to be in the library. So I'm excited about that one.
That's one thing that will steal 15 or 20 hours, and we will not be apologetic about it at all. We've always been into that kind of stuff.
It is so reminiscent of stuff we grew up with. I'm just watching, like, somebody playing it right now on Steam, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is like totally, you know, the games we played 30 years ago or whatever it was. Like, it looks great. So yeah, now I'm super intrigued by it.
I just have to reiterate, we would really like to talk to Valve. So if anybody out there knows anybody at Valve Software, we would love to talk to those guys, because if you haven't figured it out yet, we really love what they do.
Yes,
for sure. So I feel like this has been the Valve show, and I didn't mean for it to be, but we did a lot of those back in the day, and here's another one. So we'll be back.
Definitely happened.
We'll be back to normal next week, we promise, for those of you that aren't Val fanboys. But I will say, just as we wrap this up, and I mean it with all sincerity, if you have not played Half-Life, if you have not played Portal, if you have not, well, I'll even throw Left 4 Dead in there, because I know Left 4 Dead's a big deal. A lot of people were Left 4 Dead. If you have not played those three series and you consider yourself a gamer, please go out and pay whatever the money is and treat yourself, because they're three of the greatest franchises ever made.
Yeah, for sure.
And you just can't go wrong. Yep. So
absolutely. Fantastic.
All of that said, he's got to go manage kids, and he's needed to go manage kids for about the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
If you've been watching him on video, he's been squirming, going, shut up, man. We got to move. Shut up, man. He's got to go manage kids. So we're going to get out of here. You guys know how this works. We got the Facebook. We've got the X. We've got the Discord. We're living over on the Discord, so if you want to talk to us, that's the place to do it. If you don't want to get on Discord, I understand totally and completely, because I kind of want to throw up a little bit every time that I say that we're there. If you would rather email us, it's gamingonsister@gmail.com or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And if I'm not mistaken, we have a segment in the queue. I think we'll play that next show.
There you go.
Please feel free to send us a segment. I know Derek's working on stuff. I know Cabbage is over at the Discord. I'm going to get Spider over there. If it's the last thing I do, we're going to get all the old guys back, and we're going to get back to the old days. Segments are going to be a big deal, and we really want you guys to be involved. But for right now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.